Blog Talk Radio.
Conscious of, because I didn't, I haven't lived the whole history
I know what I experienced in my lifetime, but the history of it, complete history of it, some things I was not aware of, you know, that our people were put through, and also what we ourselves have done. You know, I cannot be responsible and will not hold anybody responsible for what the Gentiles have done to us. I hold them responsible for that, but not our own people. And so I don't want to point the finger at us in that regard, because what was done to us and perpetrated against us, I feel like and know that it was just straight out evil and wickedness. Okay. At the same time, we are responsible, number one, for how we initially got here because of our disobedience, the disobedience of our forefathers. And at the same time, it seems like that we as a people can't seem to come to the right conclusion most of the time. The majority of the time, we always won't. We always seem to want to, you know, flat out just not serve the Most High. And so that is bothersome to me from that standpoint, because I love our people. I really do. I'm one of us. And I love us as a people. We have issues, serious issues. And when it comes to the scriptures, I believe everything that is written. And I see where, you know, the Most High is accusations against us. And I cannot fall on our side and say, but, cannot make it uses for us. There's no rhyme or reason. And so my feeling is the Most High has been most patient with us time and time again from the very beginning. You know, we can look at where we have fallen, where we have not kept our end of the bargain, and the Most High took us back. And he was merciful, and he was kind, and he was loving. And then there's, you know, he shows, hey, I don't play. And you continue to want to play with me. You continue to want to do what you're doing, no matter how I treat you. He says, why should I whip you anymore? You are sick from the head to the toe. So he's telling us that we are sick through and through. That's complete corruption. You know, that's like, he's saying there's no hope for you. Yet and still, I chose you and I haven't given up on you. And I can't speak for anyone else. I speak for my life. And I have, you know, I have done some things and I have been some places and I have not been perfect. And never will pretend to be perfect. But I do know this. I personally strive for perfection. Okay, as I learn things and as I become aware of them, I hold myself accountable to them. I can't hold anybody else accountable. But I can hold myself accountable. And, you know, every person has to, I guess, develop their own standards. What they feel comfortable with, or what they feel like they can go before the Most High with, and what they feel like they can get away with. You know, for me, my truth and reality came when I said, if I died right now and went before the Most High, what could I say to him? What excuse could I give for my shortcomings, especially those that I knew? And decided to do anyway when I was in truth and when I wasn't in truth. What could I say to him? And there was nothing. You know, the answer was nothing. You know, I couldn't lie my way out of the situation. I can't BS my way out of it. I can't hem and haw out of it. And the reality of the matter is, I either accept that the truth of the matter, that he is Elohim and he is sovereign and whatever he says goes, or I try to place my standards above his, and I try to, you know, BS my way out of it, because that's what it would be. And so in the world, in this world, when it comes to men and it comes to the standards of the world, I have been able to overcome. I have been able to achieve whatever it is that I wanted to achieve in the world, what I wanted to achieve, what I set my eyes on and said, you know, I want to do that. I want to accomplish that. I want to, you know, I want to get past these things. I'll fight for this. And the Most High has always been in my life to some degree or another. And, you know, when he called me and said, you know, many years ago, when I ran from it, to teach, to preach, when I ran from it, he did not leave me. He allowed me to go so far, and that was it. And I've always listened to that voice. And so when he woke me to who we are as a people, then my life changed. My wife doesn't realize that. My children don't realize that. My friends don't realize that. Only thing they can say is, you know, you started acting this way from this point. You know, you started believing this way. You started doing those things, but they don't really want to accept those standards. And I understand that. I get it. But I'm not responsible. I can't save them. They have to save themselves. And so in what the Most High told me to do and the vision that he gave me, I have to remain true to it. I have to remain true to it because I don't believe that it was some other entity talking to me. The same entity that has always talked to me, has always kept me safe, or has always chastised me. It's the same entity that gave me this vision of us as a people, put the understanding into me. To want to know the truth and to want to teach the truth and to want to live by the truth. And so as I'm reading these things, you know, us as in particular as it comes to, I'm not even really overly concerned about the slavery. My main concern is us as a people. And the things that were done to us, yes, they are atrocious. And we have every right to be angry because they went overboard. They went beyond. They have done things they ought not have done. And like I tell people who I talk to, there's no way that if I'm them and I tampered with this book to control everyone, if I was so smart and I'm them, there's no way in the world that I would leave in the book that ultimately I'm going to end up your slave. Every nation that came against us, who held us as slaves, the book says that they're going to end up being our slaves. Just that we can't be the same way toward them that they are toward us. But that's what it says. If I'm going to manipulate the book, if I'm going to change scripture, if I'm going to use it to control someone, I'm not going to leave in there that in the end, because of how I do things, I'm going to end up your slave. It makes absolutely no sense to me that they would do that, especially if they're supposed to be that much in control and they're supposed to have rewritten the book. Then the Most High fixed it so that they did not have complete understanding. So I believe in an Elohim that is able to protect his word. And no matter if somebody tries to manipulate it, if they try to rewrite it, if they try to change it, it's by his spirit that he reveals. That's not how you look at that. That's not what happened. By his spirit. And if we don't have his spirit, then we will use our own mind and our own understanding to understand what is written. And so I know for years, and I wanted the spirit of the Most High, and he would not give me his spirit. He would not fill me with the Ruach HaKodesh. I was still in the world, in the church, not 100% focused on him, not 100% wanting him. I did, but I didn't, because I care more about the world than I did him. And then he said to me, coming down the stairs of my house, I will not forever call you. I've been calling you, and you have not come. I've been unctioning you, and you've been, every time you turn around, just like our people, ran into the world. Because I did not want to live as holy as it was saying to live. Some things I wanted to do, and I'm just being honest. But he chose me. And at that point, I realized that, hey, you're telling me this is last call. I will not forever call you. Then I knew what he was saying. You, I've called you from a child. And you've always chosen at some point or another to be disobedient. You know, to go out drinking, to go out chasing women, to go out into the world, to chase those things that man says are important. But you were not listening to me wholly the way you were supposed to. And it's always been very important to me to be right with the Most High. I just wasn't being serious enough with it. When he said that to me, I will not forever call you, I understood completely what he was saying. And that turned me. That converted me. That changed my heart toward him. And he told me, I will teach you. I had read the scriptures. I, you know, once I really started getting into scriptures, when I turned about 21, I read the Bible and I had certain understandings. But I didn't have complete understanding. But I had things that he had revealed to me, and it was enough to hold me. It was enough that I could read scripture and not fall asleep. Because when I first started reading, I could read a couple of verses, and I was out like it was a sedative. And then that changed. I could read scripture all day long and never get sleepy and be attentive to every word that was being said. I was being read. And so when we are going through this, because, you know, as I said, you know, I said before, I don't care who's right. If somebody comes to me with truth and can show me in the book or show me the Most High reveals it, that, hey, what they are saying is right and real, I will accept it. I will incorporate it because I just want to do what's right, and I want to live according to his word. I don't want to live according to my standard that I grew up with or the world's standard. He is my standard, and I truly believe that to the bottom of my heart. And so when he said to start teaching, because, you know, I held off for a long time. And I was not trying to pastor or do anything like that. I was simply debating in the scriptures. I would read in the scriptures. I would read other documents. I would do research. I would debate in the scriptures. But I was not trying to teach anyone. I was not trying to be responsible for anyone else. And then he said, you need to go forth. Now, this was, I was supposed to do that when I was in the Pentecostal Assemblies of the World. And he had prepared me to become a bishop in the Pentecostal Assembly of the World had I stuck with that organization. But when he showed me who we were, he also said, you got to leave. So I left. And I could have been a pastor of some Pentecostal assembly, but I would have been preaching and teaching that doctrine and only that doctrine. And even though my pastor at the time said, hey, when once you get filled with the Holy Ghost, the Ruach HaKodesh, you have to go into the law, he could not take me there. He could not take the congregation there. It's like he knew it, but he didn't know how to do it. So the Most High put it within me to be able to do it, to be able to understand it, and to incorporate it, believe it. And I know that there was a mixture of truth in both. Showed me, this is true and this is true. Both is two sides of the same coin. And people will accept one side, but they will not accept the other. People will do one side, but they will not do the other. And I understood. And so when we're reading this stuff, and when, you know, I'm going through it, it's from the standpoint of how do I really help people to understand what we are doing and what we are going through, what we've been through. How do I help in that? And so, just like on the other night when we read, you know, it really had not crossed my mind that our forefathers had a choice of staying here or not staying here. And that makes, you know, when you got a choice, because it was my understanding, my belief, that we really didn't have a choice. Now, today, you know, we can get passports, we can leave, and we can go wherever. But the country was going to send us wherever. Where will we go? Only Yah knows. Will we go to the islands? Would we go back to Africa, to the West Coast, where they took us from? Would we go back to Israel? Only Yah knows, okay? I can't even answer that, because today, I don't know where in the world we would go if we left here. There seems to be no viable area or solution. So in my mind, in my understanding, he gave us a commandment, an order to preach the gospel and to teach whatsoever he commanded. And so wherever we're at in the world, that's what we do until he gathers us. So he comes and he gathers us. Because, you know, I'm looking at, if you look at the U.S. southern border, you got all these people trying to come to the U.S. looking for, quote unquote, a better life. And they are stacked up at that border. Okay. And the people don't want to let them into this land to have a better life. Because, hey, you're going to take our jobs, you're going to bring crime, you're going to do this, whatever the reason is, rationale that they want to deny. But it's not just here. You got people from India, from China, from all these other nations trying to migrate into other nations, and they are making these tent cities everywhere because those countries won't let them in. So where in the hell do we think we're going to go if we go en masse that we won't end up in the same situation? in tent city trying to get into a place that don't want to take us in, because the citizens that are in those nations will not look at us as being them or having a right to be there. So they'll feel like, hey, you're here to take our jobs, you're here to do whatever, use our resources, you're here to put a strain on our system, and we are struggling. So where do we go? And the only way that we could ever go somewhere and it'd be acceptable is that Yah took us there. He himself, that he made the way, and that he's going to ensure that, you know, we are safety. Other than that, I hear wait on Yah. Don't try to do things yourself, because anytime we have tried to do things ourselves, we get in trouble. And so that's why I have not tried to advertise the community. He said do it. But he told me not to advertise it, because the nature of the country that we're in is that if they find out, they will come against. And unless we can, you know, build up the masses where we can protect ourselves, then they will probably try to come against it. So you don't tell everybody what you're doing. So, yes, it frustrates me. We frustrate me. When I say we, I'm talking about our people as a whole. I don't even see those that are awake that are really trying to live in holiness. Not saying all of us, but it's the majority of us. And I don't like, I've never been able to deal with living lies. When I was doing what I was doing, I knew what I was doing. And that's why when the Most High said, I will not forever call you, I know what I heard, and I had to run to him. I believe in him more than I believe in the world, and I want to be, you know, accountable to him. And so that has been in me as a child. And like I said, I was hard-headed. I was disobedient. I did things that I shouldn't do. I did. And, you know, I don't claim to be perfect. I do claim that as the Most High has revealed things to me, that I hold myself accountable to them. As he has said I should be accountable, as he has said that this is, then I incorporate it into my life. I can't make anybody else do it. I do it. And I live my life that way, and if it's contrary to my family, then it's contrary to my family. They're still my family. But, you know, I would have to leave and start over. And I can't do that either. So the bottom line is,
what, Brother Miles?
What's that?
You ever heard of this saying, same game, different players?
Yep.
Well, it's the same game.
Right.
So back in our forefathers' time, look how many of them that didn't believe.
Right. And I understand that.
Them that wanted to go back to Egypt.
Wanted to go back. Wanted to live, wanted to be, stay in the world. Yeah, I get it, and I understand the battle that I'm in, that we are in. Nevertheless, you know, and my cry could be to Yah, but this people, our people, we have some serious issues. And I can't stop crying for our people, and I can't stop crying to them. Because Yah has not said stop. He hasn't told me that. If he ever tells me that, then that's what I'll do. But he hasn't told me that. And so as we are like in this, you know, looking for reparations, I really truthfully wanted to see what the world, what this country would offer as reparations. Yeah, what they believe that they owe us.
Nothing.
Yeah, they don't really owe us anything because of what we, but we believe we're owed something, but they believe we're owed something too. There's a certain amount of guilt on their part. Or else it would never be discussed. And so I know that they went overboard. And so if they want to pay reparations, or if the Most High wants them to pay reparations and he wants us to leave out of here, I think I came to the conclusion last night that if that were to happen, we would have to leave here like we left Egypt. Because the Most High had us to, what did he say? He had us to spoil Egypt. And they gave us the stuff. They gave us the gold. They gave us the silver. They gave us the silk. They gave us all their riches. And so we didn't leave out of Egypt as a poor nation. And we were not, we didn't, you know, we spent a lot of that on the Most High and his temple. So I don't think that we would leave here empty-handed. And so if they want to pay reparations, and it's the will of the Most High that they pay reparations, and that's how he's going to have us to leave here, because wherever we go, we would have to have the power to establish. We would have to have the money. We would have to have, you know, whatever it takes to establish the military, to establish the government of the Most High. And Israel today is not that government. Democracy is not that government. That's not what the Most High was set up. Not what he ever set up with Israel. It's a monarchy, and he's the king. Never a democracy. And so, and it was a mixture of you know, the priesthood and the government, the elders. A mixture of them ruling together. So, yeah. Sorry to get on my soapbox and rant this morning. But I wanted to honestly answer the question so people understand my motivation. They understand where I, as a man, am coming from. Because I just don't believe that you... I don't believe that, and I think I've worked myself up. I'm getting lightheaded. I don't believe that we as a people can have the history, can have the scriptures, and continue to make the same mistakes over and over and over again. And so every time I see that, you know, where we have strayed from the path, or where we have made an incorrect decision, choice, it just boggles my mind. It really does. It really boggles my mind. And I'm going to have to play a song or something because I'm feeling awfully lightheaded right now for some reason. But I pray I answered your question or the question asked. I'm passionate about it. I don't really want to deal with anyone who is not trying to walk circumspect before the Most High. And that's where I'm at in my life, you know, even with, you know, wife and children. Because, you know, for me, it's confusion. And at the same time, it's wife and children. You know, people outside of this, they come and they talk. They ask, you know, what I think about something. They ask me to pray for them or to guide them. What I've found is that most of the time, they're just going through the motions, saying one thing, but they have an agenda. They want to do something different. And so why even ask me? Don't ask me and then do something else. And, you know, if you feel like you're called to do something, but Yah's telling me something different, like I've had brothers that wanted to teach, I mean, okay, it's a good thing to want to, but were you called to do that? Is it just you that want to do it? And if you do want to do it, then you should also need, you should also be able to accept some correction. If you are off base, if you're doing something that you ought not be doing, if you are, you know, whatever. We don't want to accept, we don't want to accept authority and structure. And I know I've been up under many pastors, and I submitted myself. And so I understand and I know what that means. But when Yah called me to this and said, do this, and if you ask me, I'm not going to, you know, I'm going to teach what I'm going to teach. But if you come to me personally and you ask me, then I'm going to tell you, according to as Yah puts on my heart concerning you. And if you can't accept that, then you can't accept it. But then don't come and ask me again. Don't ask me to pray for you. Don't ask me anything concerning this because it's not a game. And I'm not playing a game. And it's serious. And so, yeah, that's where I'm at. So let me play a song before we start this morning because, as I said, I know I took some meds before I started this, and I didn't put anything on my stomach, but I should not be feeling lightheaded like this. I never have, but I think I got worked up as well. So I'll play a song, get me something to drink, come back, and we'll start. Because I am going to finish this. This, you know, this topic and the complete document. And I am, how do I say it? I want to use it for what it is, the document that documents the history. Now, there may be some things that is still being told the way that they want to tell it, what I mean by the writers. But so far, unless you believe that we were always in this land, and there are people, even in my household, that believe that we were always in this land, and that we are Moors, and we're not Israelites, and I told them, I said, no, we're not the same people. And the reason that I believe that we're not the same people, because just because we are the same color skin don't mean we're the same people. And the Moors, I found that they worship, they didn't worship Yah, they worship Molech. an Elohim, a God that is specifically mentioned in the Bible that Yah hates. Because Molech required his people who worship him to pass their children through the fire. And so to associate with them or say that I'm them, well, for me, if I was them, I'm not them now. And would not be them because I would not worship Molech, I worship Yah. And so anything that will cause me to turn and go back that way or to believe that way or to worship another Elohim, I will not do. Will not. So those doctrines and those beliefs and those understandings, even if it is true, I choose Yah. And therefore, I cannot go down that road. And even if that's the history, okay, that's the history, the bottom line is I now serve Yah and always serve Yah. I've never served Molech myself, and I refuse to go and serve Molech or any other deity. I am 100% committed to Yah and Yahshua. And so when I have those discussions, historical conversations, oh, we were always here. They didn't bring us here as slaves. Denying everything concerning us as Hebrew Israelites. So don't believe that we're Hebrew Israelites. Okay, I believe that we are. That's what Yah told me. That's what the vision he gave me, that's the understanding he gave me after prayer. And not just praying one time, but praying for 3 or 4 years. Who are we? Why are we going through what we're going through? Something is wrong. Why does the world hate us the way the world hates us? Why would they want to do to us what they do, what they have done? No matter how much money we get, no matter how much education we get, no matter how much notoriety we get, and I came to this conclusion after my own accomplishments in this world. That don't matter what I do. They still see me the same way. Something is wrong. And so he came back with the answer, you're my people. So I understand it from that perspective. In my heart, we are his people. And if we are his people, then we cannot wake up and get it wrong. We cannot wake up and not do what's right by Yah. Not by us, but by him. The whole purpose for our being. The whole reason why we exist. So that's where I'm at. Where I will always be. Will always be my motive, will always be my understanding, unless Yah changes it. You know, how do we do what's right by him? As a people, you know, I was on Hebrew Connect this morning, and I understand trying to promote a platform. And the brother said, I wonder if we are mixing the holy with the unholy by being on YouTube and Facebook, Instagram, so forth and so on, and not, you know, holy building on Hebrew Connect. And I understood what he was trying to do. And I commented, and I said, basically that we to be on whatever platform to try to reach our people that we can be on for the simple reason all of our people are not on Hebrew Connect. If I'm only on Hebrew Connect, then I am preaching to the choir. And if I'm going to preach to the choir, then it's going to be about are we ourselves who are awakened and in truth, are we living holy rather than unholy? So I said, maybe the better question is, are we mixing holy with the unholy by allowing every wind of doctrine that our people believe on this platform? Because there's not several truths. There's only one truth. And when we are preaching all these different things, because that's where we are at, and it's not 100% in the worship of Yah, not 100% in his salvation, not even having the true understanding of how we become saved. We just acknowledge that we're Israelites, and then we start trying to keep these rules. We start trying to keep these laws. But for what reason did Messiah come, and how do we enter in? And are we doing that the way that he says to do it? How he says to do it? And are we living according to that? Maybe that's the better question. So, you know, it is no matter where or to whom, I know that salvation is to everyone who wants to accept it. But even if the Gentiles want to truly accept it, then they have to accept the entire truth. Not just a part of it. Not just what, you know, they can deal with. If their ancestors were guilty of doing certain things, then they are guilty. And a lot of them don't want to hear that. Okay, I'm still going to teach it, and if you don't want to hear it, you don't want to hear it. At the same time, doesn't mean you can't be saved. But I know that you're going to be an issue because you're not totally committed to the truth and not totally committed to repenting of your own wrongdoings and the wrongdoings of your forefathers, or to admit that you have prospered and gained off the backs of other people, mainly us. And so that's a problem too. Just as we know that when it comes down to it, you are still the same. You will choose your side because you can't hear the other side. So you don't want to relive it. Even our own people don't want to relive it, as far as, hey, if you're going to pay us, if you're going to make amends, if you're going to do what's right, some hard truths and some hard realities that both sides have to come to. Both. And if we're not able to do that, then we're just going through the motions. So, and I will act accordingly. I will act accordingly. Because this is what, you know, this document is all about, facing those truths and those harsh realities. And for both sides. And the thing is that I think the difference here, is that because I know who we are, I won't just read the document from a one-sided view. Because I could say, hey, look, see, we wanted to be free, and we were willing to fight for our freedom, and we were willing to, you know, do these things, and we did do these things. Because we are not unequal to you. And so we fought for our freedom, and we fought for our rights. And we fought to stay here. And we fought to prove to you that we are not unequal. But the truth of the matter is, I know who we are. I know how we originally got here. and know why we got here. And then to see us, if we had any type of understanding, any type of truth, reject our Elohim, reject turning back to him, even in our captivity, we want to choose the side of our captors. Because maybe they did believe that they were inferior, or maybe they looked at it and said, hey, we have a way of being prosperous in this land. Whatever the reason, still comes back to the understanding, my understanding, that, hey, we're the people of the book, and we chose not to return to our Elohim. And we chose to believe the hype. And what's so bad about it is turn away from the Most High and still got ended up being enslaved, still got ended up being persecuted, still got ended up being extreme prejudice used against. So we made the wrong choice. And so we are still stuck here. And even for me, not knowing 100% of the truth, not know, you know, first starting off with who we are and believing parents, believing our people, you know, you got to do this, you got to do that. As Yah is my witness, award-wise, recognition-wise, I achieved those things, even all the way up to the President of the United States of America being given an award by him for something that even the average military person would not get an award for. And today, only four-star generals get this award. But I was the first one to receive it in 1995. Looking for that recognition. So I understand it. And I know that I'm no dummy in regards to those things, but it was pursuing false things. It was pursuing what doesn't matter. What is most important is to fear Yah and keep his commandments. It's most important. So it took me a minute to come to that understanding and to come to that realization. That's what's most important. Not the accolades or praises of men, but the praises of Yah. So, you know, I can show people. I'm not just talking the talk, but I'm walking the walk. And whether they agree with me or not, whether they believe me or not, I have, you know, I can show, hey, I have all these decorations, I have all these awards, and I have been given positions that I don't have a degree. I don't have a degree in engineering. I don't have a degree in science. I don't have a degree in religion. But in the world, they always treated me like I had an 8-year degree. Because Yah gave me the wisdom and the smarts to not to have to go to their college and still achieve the same thing and understand the same things that they were saying you need a degree for. Yah has always given me favor in those things. I'm accrediting it to him because that's who I always gave the credit to. I didn't call him Yah at the time, but gave it to God. So, I'm not telling you something that I heard. I'm not coming with, you know, delusions of grandeur. I have the things that other men have written. Accommodation for this. Meritorious accommodation for this. For that. Not once or twice, five or six times in my career, with the culmination being from the President of the United States. Within my first 6 months at Amazon, engineer of the quarter, amongst thousands and thousands and thousands of engineers. So I've always been able to do those things. I always had that ability. But that's the recognition of men. I don't want the recognition of men. It's not important. Been there, done that, got that t-shirt or t-shirt. It's about the recognition of Yah. About being lowly and contrite and humble before Him. About serving Him in the spirit of truth from my heart, the bottom of my heart. That's what's important to me. So, it frustrates me. It befuddles me. You know, if I was in this for the money, I know the formula to use to get people to want to come, and same old formula that the church has been using forever. Don't say anything negative. Don't hold people accountable. Make them feel, you know, a little guilty, but always lift them up. Make them feel good about themselves and what they're doing. And Elohim will always forgive you for everything, no matter what. You just got to try harder. Well, I realize that's not the Elohim of the book. And it plays them as a chump. And I think the biggest thing is it... We want to make Elohim who we want to make him. That's what I see. Idolatry to the fullest. We're going to interpret the scripture based upon whatever culture we're in. We're going to base it on whatever scientific fact that we can come up with. We are going to make him, we're going to change his laws to meet whatever needs we want to do, whatever we want to do at the time. We want men to marry men, we're going to change the laws. We want to do whatever, we're going to change his laws. To meet our own needs, we're going to, if we don't change his laws, then we will create our own to govern ourselves by. And at the same time say that we worship him. So as I see these things, I'm like, you know, that's a double standard. That is just a flat out lie. It is a untruth. It is what's easy. It's convenient. And it's what the vast majority of us do. We fall into that pit. So we're going to come up with our own doctrines. We're going to come up with our own traditions. We are going to override the word of the Most High. To be convenient to us. And I just can't do it. I refuse to do it. If it was truth, then I would be all for it. And I would really be all for it. Be convenient for sure. Yeah, I fell again. Please forgive me. I'm trying to do better. I'll try to do better. I'm working on it. Easy, convenient. Only to do it again. Been there, done that. And understood that every time I did it, the next time it was easier to do it. Well, you didn't kill me before, Yah, so forgive me. Straight up is BS. And at some point, we have to make a real commitment. At some point, we have to be truly converted, truly changed. I don't do that anymore. I'm not going to do that anymore. And mean it. And not fall, not slip. Because we mean it. So I can understand if you say you're not comfortable with doing a certain thing, then I'm not going to tell you to go down that road if you're not comfortable with it. If, you know, I know the things that I was saying I had tried to do in the past. And I know that this government has done things that have been crooked and wicked to us. And no matter how we approach them, like I said, I'm reading this document, I'm seeing why. Why is the USDA against us that way? Why are all the federal institutions against us that way? Why us in particular do they want to hold back? Well, we're reading it in this document. So I see, you know, I now know the root of it. They never wanted us to be equal with them. Ever. So they're saying one thing out the side of their neck and doing something else behind the scenes. And even though they know that what they have done is wrong, because they don't ever want us to be equal, they continue to do it. So I know what I just applied for with them will be the last time that I apply for anything with them. Unless they come back truthfully and say, yeah, we owe you this. And I know that there is no help there, and we are going to have to help ourselves. Period. And I have to suffer to the consequences of how to do it. But see, we don't want to stick together that well. Maybe it's too hard. Maybe we become too old. I know I'm getting older every day. But our young people, even those that have awakened, they have their own agenda. And I can't say I blame them because I was once there. And unfortunately, we don't get to, they're not benefiting from our own wisdom and our experiences in this life. Like, they got to do like we did, learn for ourselves. But that don't mean that I will ever stop. To the day I stop breathing. Because as I said, my mother-in-law, I noticed she had the fivefold ministry. She had the fivefold gifts within herself. Yeah, I have blessed her that way. I have been through things with her, seen things. So I know that, you know, yeah, I was with her. Yet and still, because of how her family was, she didn't complete those things Yah said she was supposed to. And I think Yah took her early because it was only going to end up being worse. if her husband died first, took her first. But I don't want it to be where Yah told me to do something and I didn't do it. And I don't want it to be where my family keeps me from doing it. So it is, you know, like a catch-22. Nevertheless, no matter what, I'm going to choose Yah. This is my blood, but I choose Yah. Anyway, that should be enough for people because, you know, this is being recorded. People will be able to download it. They'll be able to hear it. I'm not, you know, trying to hide anything. Do things in accordance with the laws of Yah, whether men agree with them or not, because they don't agree with them. So that being said, let's do this. We are hour in. Let's do our statement of faith. We'll pray in. I look forward to the new moon or the beginning of month ceremony for the beginning of month ceremony for this month, because you know it's not all about a message. It's not about teaching,
but as well,
it's not about.
But there's one or two reasons why you clicked on this video here today. You're most likely at a stage where you're struggling to get traffic to your affiliate link. You're a little bit confused about the whole thing. But as you have little to no time to make things work, well, don't worry, you're in the right place. Today, I'm going to be sharing my brand new affiliate marketing system never shared before on this channel. So with this strategy, you're going to be able to
start generating affiliate commissions
by simply copying content that you don't even have to create yourself. This is definitely one of the easiest ways out there for beginners to make money online right now. And the best part about this is that the software I'm going to show you is literally going to do all of the work for you, and you don't have to invest anything up front. This should make some of you guys your first dollar online, and for others, their first couple of hundreds of dollars online today. Once you're on to this site, all you need to do is go ahead and sign up to a brand new account if you don't have one already. Now, this is your first time.
Yeah, this is a video I was watching on affiliate marketing.
Thousands of different digital products and sell them online and make a commission. The reason why I'm using this marketplace is because it's the most commonly used online.
From.
You can pretty much use any affiliate marketplace. This can range from impact.com, CJ Affiliate, Warrior Plus, DigiSource, Partner Stack, or any other affiliate marketplace online. What I want you to do from this point onwards is to copy exactly what I'm going to do.
All right. Okay. So, as I said, I listen to a lot of videos. I'm doing a lot of different things. Didn't mean for that one to come up. Nevertheless, let's do our statement of faith. And we will jump into this. Again, I'm only going to take it to the top of the hour. Probably 35 minutes because of quarter till. Again, I want to remain with this format, with this particular topic. You know, so people can make comments, ask questions. As I said, a lot of things I already knew, and there are some things I did not know. Some things, you know, I value, like you did, my sister, concerning like the Trail of Tears. That, you know, that was 100% an Indian thing that as they marched them from their land, that it was a rough, you know, it was a rough march. A lot of them died along the way, but they never said that they had slaves, never said that they bought slaves to take with them. And so it wasn't just them, because, you know, they died. A lot of the slaves died too. But the fact that they also embraced slavery of our people. Well, that was not said. That was not taught. That was not, you know, portrayed to us, to me, not in school. So, you know, the fact that this document revealed that, yeah, that was an eye-opener. But, you know, everybody, every race, is either good or they are evil. Man is either good or they are evil when it comes to the Most High. He's not a respecter of persons. He's a respecter of good or evil. And that's how he judges people. You are either good or you are evil. Don't matter whether you're black, white, purple, green, orange. You're either doing what he said to do or you're not. If you're doing what he said to do, you're good. If you're not doing what he said to do, you're evil. No in between. And so it doesn't matter about that. Even Israel. Most I don't care if you're a Hebrew Israelite, if you're not obeying him. He don't want you if you're not obeying him. He wants those that are going to be obedient. Those that are going to tremble at his word. You know, and even that perspective. The word fear. The word tremble. Those words, specific meaning in our language. And you cannot take the word fear, and you cannot take the word tremble, and translate them into reverence, respect. Because, see, people feel like they should have a respect for the Most High. They should reverence him, but not fear him. Not actually tremble at his word. And it is like it's an abomination to think that they should tremble at his word, literally. I think there's another word, dread. D-R-E-A-D, dread. Transgressing his commandments. They don't want to dread it. Have a deep fear of doing so. And that's the difference. Everything that I read in Christian doctrine and in Christianity, they want to reverence the Most High. And they want to have, you know, a deep respect of him. But they don't want to fear him. Don't want to feel that they have to fear him because he's a loving and merciful and kind God. Yes and no. He loves them that love him. And he tells us how we are supposed to love him, by obeying him. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you don't keep my commandments, you don't love me. But I respect you. No, you don't. Talking out the side of your neck, trying to make yourself feel good, because you don't want to be damned, you don't want to feel condemned, have any condemnation concerning yourself. So that is, you know, that mentality, and that's where the church is at. We want to have a deep reverence, a deep respect for the Most High. But we don't want to fear him. We don't want to actually tremble at his word. We don't want to dread transgressing his law. Like, we don't want to be condemned. And we don't want the Most High condemning us for our shortcomings. But that is exactly what he's going to do. And he gave us the expectation. We just have to believe it. But I don't want to serve a God that I have to do that with. And that's the end is the problem. That is the root of the problem. I don't want to serve an Elohim that I have to dread serving if I transgress against him. I don't want to feel that I am condemned, that I'm going to end up being severely punished to the point of death. But that's what he does. I don't want to believe that. I don't want to walk in that. I don't want to serve an Elohim that's like that. It's what it comes down to. So I will make him what I want to make him. So as I'm writing this book and trying to put these things into words, and trying to explain the differences. These are the things that the Most High is showing me. These are the arguments. The world never wants to feel that they have gone too far and cannot come, and that the Most High will not forgive them. That he will not take them back, that the consequence of their actions is you have just been damned. I don't ever, and I'm talking as the world, don't ever want to feel as I have no hope. Therefore, we will not teach that. We will not say that. We will not believe that. With fear and trembling and his actions say exactly that. Really, fear me. Tremble in fear and dread at my word. That's the level of respect and reverence that you should have. Not just a deep respect and then I'm going to forgive you anytime you fail. And there's not going to be any consequence. As long as you confess it and say, I'm sorry, I don't care how many times you fall, I'm going to take you back. That is a lie. It is just a flat-out lie. And it's setting a unrealistic expectation of the Most High that, you know, Elohim, that is the way you are. You are all forgiving. And no matter how many times I fall, you're going to forgive me as long as I'm trying. Well, you can be trying with no real expectation of ever really doing right. Lying to yourself. When the Most High says, I will not be mocked, that's what people are doing. They're mocking him. Don't really realize that they're mocking him because you don't really mean what you're saying. You mean that you want me to have a deep respect of you. You don't mean that you want me to completely obey you in spite of myself. Yeah, you know who I am and what I am and why I am. So you don't really mean that. So as I'm writing this book, let's say attempting to write it, attempting to explain that, he means what he says. And he means exactly what he has had written. So people will say, well, the church did that, so we will fear them. No. But you don't serve the church. You don't serve the pastor. You don't serve the priest. You serve the Most High. If the pastor benefits or the priest benefit because of your fear of the Most High, then okay. But that's why he says you don't fear nobody but him and your parents. The only two people he said to fear. Other than that, he says don't have no fear. So I don't care what Brother Miles says. Don't fear Brother Miles. Fear me, the Most High Elohim. I don't care how many times Brother Miles says, fear me, to dread me. You don't fear Brother Miles because of that, but you fear the Most High because of that. And see, we have deflected and tried to put it on men. And that men have written these things so that we will obey them. Well, then men have written everything so that you will obey them. Then you can't believe anything that is written. And you shouldn't obey anything that is written. But if you say you're going to serve the Elohim of this book, and you have to understand that you need to do it from the proper context that you're fearing him, not man, not the government, not those that can kill this body, but you're fearing the Most High Elohim. And that you obey because you fear him, truly. Fear him. And you understand that his ways are the right way. Not the suggested way. I don't know how I keep going off on these rants. But fear Yah. Don't fear me. Don't fear the Pope. Don't fear the pastor. Don't fear your friends. Don't fear family. When you were growing up, you're supposed to fear your mother and your father. Yah says to fear them. And that the type of fear that we're supposed to have for them is the same type of fear we're supposed to have for him. But see, if we didn't fear our family, our parents that way, it's hard for us to fear the Most High that way. Hard to relate to stuff where we say, well, you know, Most High is greater than our parents. But he really equates them to the same. But your parents are supposed to be in subjection to him. So, fear Yah. Keep his commandments. Really, truly, have a dread, an extreme fear. Of disobeying him, going against him, because when the Most High says we disobey him, we make ourselves his enemy, not his disobedient child, his enemy. We want to stop at, oh, well, those times, you know, I'm just a little disobedient child. I still love you, and I still want to serve you. The Most High says you put yourself in another category, unless you truly repent. Turn away from that and don't ever do it again. Then you're just talking out the side of your neck, and that's what he's saying. The words that are coming out of your mouth are not really the truth. You're saying something to get by the moment. Saying something to satisfy yourself and make you feel good for the moment. But when it really comes down to it, it's not truth. Turn around and do it again at some point. but I'm only human. I know that. I knew that when I made you. I knew that when I told you to be holy. I know that when I told you to be perfect. I still told you to be holy and perfect. So, yeah, it frustrates me, and yeah, we got to get it right. You know, it doesn't even make sense to go into any type of lesson this morning. 20 after, Yah won't let me go. In this regard, and to those that are listening online, I'm not going to apologize. I'm not going to say I'm sorry. We are accountable for our sins and the sins of our forefathers. And as you know, if we have benefited from the sins of our forefathers, whether we are doing it or not, we benefited on the back of someone else. And we have to set those things right. If we've been punished because of our disobedience, fine, then we have to accept that we are being punished and have been punished and have to do those things not to be punished anymore. You don't say, I'm tired of being punished, and continue to be disobedient. Common sense. We got a child, we tell them not to do something, they do it, we punish them, and they continue to do it, we continue punishing, and we make the punishment worse. Or we look at some other way to punish them. Or if we're disciplining them, we try to find another way to discipline them, to correct the behavior. But either way, the behavior is not acceptable. So if we have gone through what we have gone through because we are a disobedient, hard-headed, stiff-necked people, so we don't point at somebody else and say, it's your fault. We don't wake up and say, you know, it's convenient. It's a prestigious thing. I think I want to be the people of the Most High. I think I want to belong to Him. I want to say I'm one of the ones that He chose. He chose my forefathers. And I'm going to claim my heritage. And I'm going to make the same damn mistakes they made. I'm going to do the same damn thing they did and expect a different result. Then we woke up insane. We woke up mad, as in not in our right mind, not able to properly discern, not able to make correct decisions. Something wrong with us. Even if, hear what I'm about to say, even if we are not the people of the book, but we claim to be the people of the book, and we don't do what the Most High says to do, then we are just stupid and delusional. Can't put it any other way. Because first, we believe the lie that we are the people of the book. And secondly, we don't do what the people of the book were supposed to do. We're going to turn around and make the same mistakes they made. So there's something wrong. Either way, either do what he says to do, whether you're the people of the book or not, or there's something wrong. So either we love living lies, and we need to feel a certain way about ourselves because we don't want to be nobody and nothing. Or we do what the Most High said to do. No in between. No setting it to our own standard. Most High, I can do this, but you know I can't do that. If he is requiring it, not suggesting, but requiring, you want to belong to him? Whether it's true you are a Hebrew Israelite by the blood or not, whether you are a Gentile, you know you're a Gentile, you're not claiming to be the people of the book, but you're claiming to follow the Elohim of the book, then you have to do exactly what he says to do. He never, ever, 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 ever gave us the right to do what we wanted to do. He said, don't add to or take away from. Do exactly what I told you to do. Worship me the way that I said to worship me. Don't do these things. If you're not going to do that, then you don't belong to him. You say you do, but you don't. Hard truth, hard reality, people don't want to hear that. Brother Miles, you're just so kind of, you know, condemning. And why live a lie? Why live a lie? The end result is the same. Why live with no integrity? Because we want to feel a certain way. We want to pacify ourselves. And maybe we don't really believe that there is a heaven and a hell. Maybe, you know, maybe we don't believe that the Most High is going to come back and going to rule on this earth. And we're either going to be a part of his kingdom or we're going to be in the lake of fire. Because even if we are not a part of Israel, we still got to be righteous. Don't get to be unrighteous and live on the new earth and in the new heaven. Still be, hey, you want to believe you're an Egyptian? You're still going to worship the Most High Elohim. You're still going to be righteous in his eyes. And if you choose not to, he says, then okay, I'm going to punish you. But in the end, it's only going to be righteous people on this whole earth, no matter what nation you belong to. So my only word to us on this morning is, if you believe or if you know that you are a Hebrew Israelite of the flesh, of the bloodline, if Yah has awakened you to this is who you are, this is what you are, and you don't come 100% correct, you have to blame for it. And if Yah says, get away from me, you worker of iniquity, I knew you not, You only have yourself to blame for it. Because he tells us exactly, literally, not symbolically, not by allegory, except for where he was teaching a lesson. And if you really are his and you're meant to understand the truth, then you understand the allegory. You have to get it right. We have to get it right. If that's what we believe that we are, if you are a Gentile and you're not claiming to be the bloodline, and you understand that you're not the bloodline, but you still say you believe in God, the Elohim of this Bible, then you also must come correct. Because he says, if you get it wrong, he will cut you off too. Just like he cut off Israel for getting it wrong, he will cut you off too. And say, get away from me, you worker of iniquity. I knew you not. You claim me, but I don't claim you. You say you know me, but I don't know you. That's my message to us on this morning. Because the time for playing has been over. Been over. In times past, Yah looked at us and he winked at that. But we're not walking in ignorance. If we are, we're choosing to walk in ignorance. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to know that. I don't want to be held accountable for that. If you don't want to serve an Elohim that you truly have to walk in true fear of, dreadful fear of, and you don't want to serve this Elohim, you don't want to serve the God of the Bible, that's real. That's what he means. He has written what he means. And men cannot change that into the level of respect or reverence that they want to give to the Most High. And that's what men have done. This is how we want to serve you. We want to respect you, but we don't want to fear you. You to look at our flaws and know that we're human and that we fail, and we don't want you to condemn us for it. And Yah says, you fool. You were created for me, not me for you. I don't have to accept lesser than. And I won't. So you either come out of that delusion or go find somebody else to worship. Go find something else to worship. Go find something else to call your Elohim. Because you don't know me. You claim to know me, but you don't know me. And I don't know you. May the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm if you truly fear him. May he keep you from all hurt and harm. Seen and unseen. May he forgive our forefathers. are walking in wickedness and in evil. May not hold us accountable for their sins. If we truly choose Him, yeah, we will not do what they did. We will not forsake you. We will not forget you. We will not walk contrary to you. We will not choose another to worship, to obey. And Father, if we do so ignorantly, we know that you are true and just to forgive us as we were doing it in ignorance. You are not an unjust or an unrighteous Elohim. But Father, if we know, and we just don't want to obey you to the level and degree that you demand, then by all means, Father, damn their souls. They have chosen to do so. So as we go our separate ways on this morning, I condemn you not. I don't care who you are. It's not my job to condemn you. I don't have a heaven or a hell to put you into. You're responsible for that, your own self. Whether you make it into the kingdom of Elohim or whether you go to the lake, that is on each and every one of you. Just know that my Elohim is not a chump. He's not a fool. He's not like the waves tossed here and there. He is a rock. He is steadfast. He don't change. And he has been merciful. The fact that you're still here and you're able to hear what I'm saying, Yah has had mercy. If you don't change your ways, if you're not walking in accordance, and you don't change your ways, if you don't truly repent your ways, don't blame Brother Miles. Look in the mirror. Blame yourself. For the true and living Elohim, he will not be mocked. He will not be made fun of. And we are only foolish if we believe that he will. If we believe that he is, that he has to accept, we must. We must give him our all. Anything less than our all, he don't want. He don't accept. Oh, yeah, you tried. Come on in. Ain't going to happen. See, that's the doctrine and the wishful thinking of men. Read the scriptures. Believe the scriptures. Don't twist them to try to justify yourself. Let Yah justify you. And understand that the Most High Elohim don't have to settle for second best. Run the race to come in first. We'll teach it, hey, just run the race. But he said, yeah, run it to come in first, not second, not third, not just finished. Your mindset should be, I'm running this race to come in first. And if you don't want to do that, you shouldn't be running the race at all. Because I know what men have taught, but I also know what it says. Run the race to obtain the prize. You don't get a prize for coming in fourth, fifth, sixth place. We've made it second and third. But really, the prize always goes to the winner. And Yah knows whether you ran the race to come in first. You might have ran the race. You came in tied for first. You still came in first. You're tied. A tie is better than second. A tie is better than third. We tied. We gave the same effort. We ran the race to come in first. The mentality. Any other mentality, you're running the race to lose. See you guys this evening for the Feast of the New Moon, the Feast of the Beginning of the Month. Come and spend some time with Yah. Come with a heart and a mind to praise Him and worship Him. Thank Him. Glorify Him. Ask Him to be in our midst, to bless us with His presence. Not us bless Him with ours, but Him to bless us with His. Let me play this.
Forever, sing His praise, which dwells.
And I will tell her.
Shalom, family. Happy Sabbath.
Shalom, family. Happy Sabbath. Peace and blessings to you all.